Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have NFL Week 7 preview. We have a Watt brother, Derek Watt. Really, actually, an awesome time with him because...
DJ,
yeah. He reached out to us and wanted to come on. It was fun to talk to a different Watt. We talked about playing fullback. We talked about JJ, all that stuff. We also have Steve Wilkos, the legend, which we had the debate. How many people are going to know who Steve Wilkos is that listen to this show? PFT and I obviously do, but Hank didn't really know. So maybe it's a generational thing.
It might be. Could just pretend that he's Cal Ripken Jr. when he's on the show and he's talking, because he looks a lot like him. What does this sound, Pete?
What the fuck is that sound?
We have a ghost. Oh, shit. That's going to go all winter.
No way.
That's air in the pipes. I had that in my first apartment when I moved here.
Oh, my God. This is the dumbest office
we
ever.
We set up.
Keep all of this in.
We set up this podcast next to the radiator.
I thought someone was going to come through the
ceiling. And we just realized they turned the heat.
I think it's done for now, but it will be back.
All winter.
So we have Steve Wilkos, too.
God damn it.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Now.
Do we have a Larry's pick?
Oh.
A.B.
C.D.
A.B.
Antonio
Pigeon,
Brown.
Hawk. Oh, fuck. Seahawks.
Seahawks. Okay. Seahawks. Okay. There's Larry's pick.
Where'd A.B. come from?
We got more coming.
I was going to go A.B. and then you were supposed to say C. And then I was going to go like Eagle, Parrot.
Okay.
Oh, it's multi-talented. It's like a Rube Goldberg machine of your pun.
Damn. Okay, let's go.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Today is Friday, October 18th. Patrick Mahomes has a knee.
He does have a knee issue. So this is like the one injury that the NFL did not want. I think 70% of Americans, regardless of if you're a Chiefs fan or not, would have given their own knee.
I'd agree.
To have Patrick Mahomes not get hurt this year. It sucks. Hopefully, it's only going to be like 3 or 4 weeks. But if there's ligaments, if he has a ligament, then it's more.
Also, big win for all the dumb football coaches out there that run their fullback or running back in 4th and inches.
Yeah.
Because they won tonight. Because analytics Twitter loves the quarterback dive, which makes sense because it's successful like 80% of the time.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes gets hurt doing that. Doesn't matter. The Chiefs beat the Broncos easily. Joe Flacco, PFT.
As a Joe Flacco realist, I have to say the most concerning thing about Joe Flacco tonight was his body language overall. Just like his face the entire time. He has a face that... He looks like he's always looking for his car in a big parking lot.
Yep.
And at his most excited, he realizes that he took his wife's car. He's like, oh, was looking for the wrong one. At his worst, he realizes it was towed.
Right.
And it only varies like that far apart from each other. He's got terrible body language. He looks like he knows that his body is not capable of doing anything anymore.
Troy Aikman said, it's about as bad as an offense as I've ever seen.
Anemic.
That's a quote.
Like, you don't usually hear the guys say something like that. Yeah, they don't usually go in that hard.
And he played against the early 1990s Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So he's seen some shit in his day.
He has seen some shit. But, yeah, the Broncos, I feel like that's – can we dun-chain the Broncos?
I think they've already been dun-chained.
Well, let's double dun-chain.
Double dun-chain.
Because that's it. Like, if they had won this
two
game
– titty boy.
Yeah, you could talk about it. You could be like, hey, maybe, you know, they've won three in a row. They lost some close games. That's it for them. The Chiefs – while they needed this win very badly, the fact that they aren't going to have Mahomes and Matt Moore, he came in, and I think everyone in America was like,
he looks like Big Cat. Oh,
well, yeah, a lot of people were treating me that I somehow have looked like Matt Moore, Matt Castle, Matt Leinart combined with more weight and zero arm strength.
Matt Cat.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
Well,
yeah.
People say it's fat cat.
Matt Moore.
Matt Fat.
That's me.
Matt Moore looks like you if you put on a helmet that was like two sizes too small.
Yeah.
Stretches his face out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Chiefs are in a bad spot. If Mahomes is out for the rest of the season, they don't really have any other options except for Brock Osweiler is a name that's out there.
Oh, Eli.
Eli's out there.
I love that Eli has become the de facto, hey, should they trade for Eli?
RG3.
Can we make it so that, like, commissioner rule that Eli Manning is available for trades for the rest of the year?
Yes.
So that we can just never have to worry about this?
Absolutely. Speaking of the commissioner, every time a really
Swag
talented...
Swag Kelly out there?
Swag is...
Oh,
yeah,
he's Swag's out there.
He knows the system.
Yep.
As well as he knows any system.
Yep.
Besides the detention one.
Mm-hmm.
If there's like, one thing...
Vacuum cleaners.
If there's one thing that we have to do... is talk about a commissioner making a new rule after a star quarterback gets his knee injured.
Yes.
So what is the Tom Brady rule equivalent of what happened to Patrick Mahomes going to be to prevent this from happening in the future?
Mm.
Don't let Andy Reid make any decisions.
By the way.
It's a penalty, 15 yards.
I forgot about Andy Reid all time because he had to go out twice for injuries. His waddle is so, so funny.
Did you see him at the start of the night?
Yes.
Letting the cows out of the pen, just slapping Sherman on the ass?
Slapping on the ass. Anthony Sherman was the emergency quarterback.
Yep.
Incredible. Yep. Could you imagine if we had seen that?
Entire offense of fullback dives. It would have been the biggest fullback fantasy game of all time, I would say.
How depressing is it to be, and we've touched on the Broncos and John Elway not being able to find a quarterback, and it's kind of fitting that Brock Osweiler retires when you watch Joe Flacco throw that shit out there. But to have Patrick Mahomes get hurt, and you never root for injuries.
Nope.
But if you're a Broncos fan, you're sitting there like, okay, it's now what, I think it was a 13-6 game at that point. Okay, we're fine. No Patrick Mahomes. And just everything fell to shit after that.
Yeah, I looked up a stat. So we've talked about John Elway and the way that he picks quarterbacks. We used to think that maybe it's because he doesn't want a better Broncos quarterback than himself.
Right.
I looked up the stats. Since Peyton Manning, I think John Elway wanted to win a Super Bowl, so he got Peyton Manning. After that, they're 40% against the spread. They're only better than Cleveland and San Francisco. And San Francisco had Chip Kelly.
Yep.
And then...
And Garoppolo getting hurt.
Yeah, and Cleveland had like six Chip Kellys come in and out in that time span.
Yes.
So I think that John Elway owes somebody a lot of money, and he's actually very good at evaluating quarterbacks.
Mm.
He's so good, in fact, that he never drafts them.
Yeah, that's a crazy stat.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, The Broncos, and I've said this before, but the Broncos are a proud franchise. The Broncos are one of those franchises that if you actually look through their history, they have consistently been good throughout their entire franchise. Like, they've won Super Bowls, they've been competitive, they've been in the playoffs, pretty much never like a big drought where they weren't in the playoffs. So this is now going to be going on year three, I think,
yep,
where it looks like there's no answer. And I don't know how you don't have Drew Lock in there. Is he hurt still?
He's hurt still. Yeah.
Okay.
He's
come back from like I guess that's the answer. But answer my own question. But
knowing John Elway, he probably sucks too.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Correct.
So that's all you have to look forward to.
He doesn't. No one talks about Paxton Lynch enough.
You know what sucks is that if you're a Broncos fan, you have to see. So you're right. They're a proud franchise, and when you see those helmets,
yes,
you think like Peyton Manning Super Bowl. You think John Elway second Super Bowl. What do you think?
Jake Peyton Manning Super Bowl.
I think Jake Plummer rollout.
Von Miller Super Bowl.
Von Miller
John Elway
Super
Bowl.
Cam Newton Super Bowl.
Okay, Hank. That was a Do Your Pod mini segment.
What if every time.
I'm just saying, it's not like Broncos Peyton Manning. That's not the first thought that people have. It's not. John Elway, yes.
It was Brock Osweiler's team for a while. Yeah.
They did have like the best offense like of all time, didn't they?
I do think
that was the year before.
Yeah, the year before
they lost the Seahawks.
I do think that it's Peyton Manning's helmet because of that picture of him in the tub wearing that helmet.
Correct.
When he should be at practice.
Yes. That was a good picture.
Yeah.
All right, so what else we got from this game? I mean, Chiefs, kind of a question mark now. We actually foreshadowed it coming up because we taped our preview before the game. We talked about the Raiders. If they could somehow beat the Packers, we're going to have to start taking them for real.
Yep.
And
that's not going to happen.
Patrick Mahomes getting hurt. That's a wide open West if the Raiders can somehow beat the Packers.
It is. I don't know. We'll see what they do. I also feel like we always get cock-teased by the phrase emergency quarterback. We always hear what the emergency quarterback would be, and we never get to see the emergency quarterback.
Never. It's so true. I want to see. I mean, it's happened, but I just like Anthony Sherman being the emergency quarterback would be so funny.
That would have been my Super Bowl.
I think Tariq Cohen is the. I mean, how fun would that be? Tariq Cohen just out there running around. It'd be basically just running the Wildcat
yeah. the entire time.
Okay. If you want to watch us, we are on barstoolgold.com/PMT, barstoolgold.com/PMT. Let's quickly, before we get to NFL, PFT, you are in scouting mode.
Yep.
So you're scouting your competition.
Yep.
The Yankees beat the Astros in game 4. What do you see?
The Yankees lost to the Astros.
The Yankees lost the Astros. The
Yankees lose.
My bad. I don't know why I said I'm staring at
the
screen.
No, they got their asses kicked. The Yankees, and as a scout, I am afraid of the Houston Astros. I will say it. I'm afraid their rotation is just as good as the Nationals, and their lineup is better. And their relievers are better. So
you want 7?
I want the Yankees to win. I want to go up against the Yankees in the World Series. Now, I will give Yankees fans credit for this. They flipped the switch from being like, we're going to win it all, to fuck this, burn the entire team down.
Yes.
So fast.
Yes.
I love that. There's accountability in the Bronx. But, yeah, they get so mad when their team loses in a competitive ALCS.
Yeah, and I think they're dead man walking. I think tomorrow's not even going to be – Verlander's going to show up, and it's going to be quickly they jump on whoever's pitching for the Yankees, and boom, it's over.
I had an idea today during the game. So when they were down, I think it was when they were down 7-3 or 8-3, why don't they just start a massive brawl? If you're up to bat and you're a Yankee and there's just like somewhat of an inside pitch, why not charge the mound, try to get some suspensions, shake things up a little bit?
Agreed.
What's the worst that could happen?
Your team gets all the suspensions.
Yeah,
okay.
That would suck.
Yeah, that would suck. But you're still going to lose anyways.
Right. So that wouldn't suck. And you'd have an excuse.
Yeah, exactly. We were banged up and suspended.
We were all suspended.
We all got our asses kicked and we couldn't hit anymore.
We watched the game with a bunch of Yankee fans and they were just upset the whole time, rightfully so. But I threw out there my hot take that Aaron Judge is too tall. And they got very defensive about it, which means I think he might be too tall.
I agree. So, I mean, he's getting his ass kicked repeatedly by Altuve,
and
who's 5'6".
Just like every time there's a pitch low in the zone, first of all, it wouldn't be a strike for anyone else. Or it would be like it would be the opposite. It would be like middle of the, people would be able to hit it out. Altuve would be basically at his tits. And he can't, get his body down that low.
Yeah.
So that was my hot take. I'm sure some sabermetrics nerd is going to tell me I'm so wrong. Save
no,
it,
the
dude.
Strike zone's bigger. Save on it. It's a fact that the strike Save zone it. Is bigger. That's why I'd rather not be above 6 feet tall.
Right.
That's why my Little League career was so much better than his, probably. But yeah, if you're exactly, Hank.
True, Hank.
If you're Aaron Judge, why don't you at least consider a crouched batting stance?
Yeah,
was it Biggio, Craig Biggio style?
Get all the way down there,
Jeff Bagwell.
Bagwell.
Or do the reverse surgery they do in China. Disavow, where you break all your bones and they adjust your height.
For making fun of Hong Kong? Or for, why do they break your bones?
No,
you elect to have the surgery?
You elect to have the surgery. You break your bones and then they elongate it, but I'm sure they could do the reverse.
What's the average height of somebody in China? It's got to be pretty short, right? As far as different nations go?
Yeah, I would say. I'd say are we the tallest? No, yes, Scandinavia is probably the tallest.
The Norse.
Like the Norway, the Germany, those guys.
Average height in China.
We're really sounding stupid.
Is 5'4" is the average male height.
You are a king.
So I, yeah,
you'd be
I,
a king.
But still, disavow.
Disavow.
I still would not want to go there. I would still not want to go there and make money.
Correct.
But if you did.
But if I did,
you'd be a king.
I'd be a king. Yeah. But so that actually is a lot of credit to me for electing to not go over there and endorse all the atrocities by making money as a tall man.
Right. You have a very easy out anytime someone calls you short. You could just move to China, but you've decided that due to your morals, you will not.
Correct. Absolutely right.
That is... That's big of you.
Thank you.
Well, in China, it's big of you.
It's perfectly average of me.
All right, let's do some NFL picks and some preview. It's brought to you by...
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
My can't lose parlay, and also PFT has some fullback props.
I do. Well, not fullback props.
No.
So my prop that's been hitting at about 75% this year, I've been betting it every primetime game.
Sharp.
So I can only give you this pick in confidence for primetime games. Over 3.5 field goals.
Sharp.
It's been hitting 75% of the time. Usually you can get pretty good odds on it, too. So go for that. The field goals, they go farther at night. I don't know how, but they just do. And there are a shitload of them. So over 3.5 field goals in the Sunday night game and in the Monday night game.
And listen, I know some people get woke. We literally bet all these things.
Yeah.
I've seen PFT bet over 3.5 field goals a billion times.
Seriously, 75%.
He will will be sitting here on a Sunday night, and it will be 31 to 9, and he'll be like, yes. And like, what happened? Nothing. That's nowhere near the spread or the over-under.
Yep.
3.5 field goals.
Just need that last kick.
Got
What's great is getting that third field goal in right before halftime.
Yes.
Then you're golden.
Okay, weekend preview. But before we do the weekend preview, let's do a quick news that we have to talk about. So we have two things we have to talk about, PFT. The first, sad. The second, I don't know where it's going to land. The first, sad, Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, RIP Brocktober. It's fitting that he did it in Brocktober, isn't it?
This is his time. This is his month.
What I've noticed about the news coverage of his retirement is that it's been just straight up people saying, I'm so glad he earned this money.
Yes.
That's the only thing people are saying about Brock Osweiler. And it's true. He earned a shitload of money for playing in, like, I don't know, he started like 12 or 13 games.
I have the stats. He went 15-15, career record, 37 TDs, 31 interceptions. He won a Super Bowl, so some of the headlines did say Super Bowl winning quarterback Brock Osweiler. He made $41 million. And on top of all that, he has a grammatically incorrect tattoo on his bicep.
That's true.
And that gif.
That what?
The Peyton Manning one.
Yes, that's true. Where he puts
good
his
call.
Somebody should do one of those for his retirement where he's about to retire and then Peyton Manning says, no, I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it live life to it is fullest?
It is. So it's IT apostrophe S. You meant to say live life to its fullest.
Yeah,
so,
it's sad. It is very sad.
It's a PFT quote.
Here's something nice. Arizona State. I'm sure that if you factor in the money he made, they can put that into some pamphlets and be like, the average Arizona State grad. Well, no, wait. There's no way he graduated.
He didn't graduate.
Okay, never mind.
Well, and nobody really graduates from Arizona State.
Yeah. You just kind of graduate to maybe hardcore Molly instead of the little pussy shit you've been doing all
year. You know how they say, like, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere? That's actually not true at all. If you can make it in Arizona State, if you can survive 4 years of college there and graduate with a paper degree, then you can literally do anything that you want because everyone drops out.
If you can make it out of Arizona State without an STD, you're a virgin.
Well, that just, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Okay, so that was our first
news. He is tall, though.
I mean, he should do the, you know, when Tom Brady got suspended and everyone did the hilarious meme about Dom Grady, he should do that. And John Elway will draft him 1-1.
Probably. He could probably squeeze another one out there. I'll always remember Brock Osweiler for being traded from the Texans to the Browns for negative $60 million, I think it is what it was.
Basically,
it was just like, we'll pay you to take the Brockett ship.
We need to clear the books.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do... Oh, so the other news, speaking of the Browns, Myles Garrett was stopped on a street. Mm-hmm. Got out of his car and got punched in the face by a fan?
He didn't get out of his car. He stayed. There was a guy that pulled up next to him in traffic, recognized him, got out, went up to his window, and said, hey, can I take a picture with you? Took a selfie and then punched him in the face.
Do you buy this?
And then got back in his car, drove away. I don't know, man, because if you were to pick one guy in the world that you don't want to punch in the face randomly, it's Myles Garrett.
Not only because of like his size, his stature, how strong he is, but how about the fact that he is like the one guy on the Browns you cannot blame for this terrible start?
Right.
It's a list. Like, if you made a list of all the Browns players, he would be dead last. I actually would say Swagger, and I don't condone hitting dogs, but Swagger quit on the team last week.
That's fucked up.
Literally quit on the team.
That's fucked up.
So, right?
Yeah.
He retired.
They were
mid-season.
Like, yeah.
Freddie Kitchens definitely he's gonna get punched.
Yeah, Freddie Kitchens would be like number one, then the entire offensive line, then the refs, because you got to blame the refs in there somewhere, and then like Myles Garrett is probably like 60 after every single equipment guy, all the physical trainers. Maybe, Myles Garrett is last.
Maybe like some guys who were on the team, Devin Kajust,
yeah,
but he's not on the team anymore.
Yeah. But you could also make the argument that's his right as a fan.
Yeah,
since he pays his salary, he buys tickets. It's like the Monica Seles thing. If you buy a ticket to get into an event, you were within your rights to do.
Hank, do you even know that story?
No.
Oh. Monica Seles got stabbed literally in the back by a fan, by a crazy stalker fan.
In between sets.
Yeah.
In a tennis match.
Sheesh. Yeah. She finished and won.
Really?
No.
No.
She like basically ruined
hockey player would have.
Yeah. What do we have for a pick, by the way? We're not even in an ad anymore.
We're not in picks either. Are we starting?
No, I don't know.
That was like a pre-pick situation.
Oh, I was doing Larry's picks with Larry. That's why I wasn't.
Okay. Did you want to do a pick?
Sure. He's on the Lions.
Okay, you weren't going to give us cues this time? That was fun. We had to figure out what you're doing.
Okay, okay. I'll do next one.
Yeah, all right. Brilliant. All right, Lions. Let's do our own picks. Let's talk about the slate first. Decent. I would say...
Not bad.
Not bad. 3.5 balls.
We've got a couple good ones, like Baltimore, Seattle...
Fraud game?
That's a good, not a fraud game.
The Baltimore Ravens.
I'm standing up for my Baltimore, all the non-frauds out there, because it's too early to drop the F-bomb.
You know what? I heard from a lot of Ravens fans, and the only thing I'll take back from my statements on Monday is that I actually didn't, I said that the Ravens fans might be the sneaky, most annoying fans on Twitter. I take that part back, because a lot of them are very realistic about their team, and they're like, you know what? Lamar's awesome. Agreed. Defense, very suspect. Mm-hmm. And don't get fooled by the purple uniforms and the visors and all that stuff. Ray Lewis isn't walking out that door. So if the Ravens win this game, I will tweet, I was wrong. You, parentheses, Ravens fans were right. The Ravens aren't a fraud.
Okay.
I will tweet that. Someone remind me, because I'm never going to remember what I just said.
New Orleans, Chicago. That's a good game.
Ooh, that one's going to be ugly. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points.
In theory, I should be excited about Philadelphia and Dallas, but this is about the time of the season. It happens every single year, mid-October, where I'm sick of seeing the Cowboys uniforms in primetime games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sick of them.
Yep. That's a loser leaves town game.
It is.
Big-time loser leaves town game. I think the Bears-Saints game is are we sure they're good? It's actually a rare are we sure they're good / great game, because if the Saints win, they might be great. If the Bears win, they could be good.
Uh-huh. I think we got another are we sure they're good game, the Detroit Lions and the Vikings.
Ooh, yes.
It's a pendulum game for Cousins right now, because Cousins is due to swing back. I think the Lions defense is pretty good, actually. So this feels to me like a Cousins one touchdown, two interceptions game. Maybe get Adam Thielen killed on a cross route, like something bizarre happening, a very hilarious fumble six.
Yep.
And then next week after that, it's his homecoming to the Redskins where he's going to beat them by 50.
Yes, I agree. That is the Kirk Cousins on the road always has to make you nervous. And then, all right, last one before we get to our picks, the other game I'm very interested in. It's the rare Raiders. Are we doing this? Because if the Raiders can somehow win this game in Lambeau, now it's actually a real conversation. Right?
Yeah, it is. Did you hear what Matt LaFleur did? The new rule he put in this week?
No.
He said no sack celebrations for his players.
Ooh.
Because somebody did the fake going to sleep after they hit, what was their last game? Oh, it was against Matt Stafford. Yeah, they sacked Stafford, and they pretended to fall asleep, and Matt LaFleur is not having that. So Matt LaFleur starting to become not the player's coach you thought he was.
That is weak.
Takes away the ping pong tables, too.
Do you think he has someone in his family who like suffers from narcolepsy? And that's why he was like, don't do that.
He was personally offended by it.
Now the players aren't going to have any incentive to get a sack.
True.
His cousin, Brian Windhorst, was very upset about it.
Listen, if you don't let the players celebrate a sack, that's something that we're joking about, but it is real that you can't ban something like that when, what do you get, maybe 4 or 5 sacks a game?
Well, counterpoint, you'll remember the Lions. Hopefully. They had two players that tore patellar tendons or ACLs celebrating a sack. Remember
that was hilarious, though.
Lamar Houston we don't cheer with the Bears.
Yeah, there you go. We don't cheer for injuries, right, though.
Right? Yeah, no, it wasn't funny.
In theory, it would have been funny if it wasn't real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. Got it.
Lamar Houston did it in a 30-point blowout against the Patriots. He sacked Jimmy Garoppolo, the backup, and he fucking tore his ACL. That's dummy.
Tough.
God damn. Okay, let's do some picks. Favorites. Hank. Who does not like to bet favorites. He's a moneyline addicted fiend.
3 weeks in a row, moneyline, every single game, moneyline dogs come out positive 3 weeks in a row. The only one I'm not going to do moneyline dog is the Bills, so I'll take the Bills as my favorite.
Okay.
17,
Hank. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
They covered last week.
You know what they say? Too many points.
Yeah.
You can say that. Too many points. Okay.
Yeah, my favorite is going to be...
I take that back. I am gonna take. Oh. I am taking the Dolphins money line parlay. Money line dog.
Okay.
I'll do the. Fuck. See, I don't like any of these other favorites. I'll do the Niners, I guess.
Oh man. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
My favorite.
Even that one. If the Redskins won, I wouldn't be shocked.
My favorite is actually gonna be Buffalo.
Yeah.
So I just talked you out of that, so I could claim it as my own. Because last week, what?
Are you done with the Dolphins?
No, I'm not done with the Dolphins.
But this is a big moment.
Last week was the only week that I didn't bet on the Dolphins, and they ended up covering the spread.
Damn.
So that pissed me off. So now I'm mad at the Dolphins.
You're chasing.
And I'm disavowing.
Yeah, you're chasing, like, losing when you didn't bet on them, and then you're going to lose so much money on the Dolphins.
I'm in a brain zone. I'm in the PFT brain zone against the Dolphins right now, and the Bills are rested right now.
Yes.
I think that this is going to be – I mean, it's a home game, so they can beat the shit out of them. Dolphins will probably show up in those candy-ass uniforms, and Bills are wearing the color rushes.
Fuck yes.
So Dolphins are getting fucked up.
Yeah. No, you are never going to win another bet on the Dolphins this year because you're basically in the personal revenge zone.
Yes.
And you could chase – a team from coast to coast trying to get personal revenge and lose all your money.
My balls are fighting my brain.
Yep.
This could be a huge Bills letdown game, though, where it's like, oh, we had the bye week, and then somehow we came out and lost.
No, that's not a trap game would be like a very a good win. Then you go on the road.
Right. They have Bama next weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, they had a bye, so it's like, oh, we have a bye, we have an extra week, and it's Miami. So it's like there's no way they lose. Somehow they do.
I think that the Bills upset Miami. The only way Miami's going to upset a team is if that team doesn't have like an awesome defense. Like the Bills are going to just body them.
Yeah.
You don't want to play against the Bills if you're a winless Miami Dolphins team. Okay, my favorite, I'm going to go with the Rams. That's a get right game. I think this is it. I think Dan Quinn might get fired after this game because their defense is so bad. It's Rams minus 3. Jalen Ramsey, will he play? Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to play.
Right. Okay, so his kid was born and he's all good?
Yes, I don't know if the kid's born yet, but I saw Sean McVay greeting Jalen Ramsey when he walked into the facility.
Yep.
They gave the handshake and the back slap, and the handshake fucking slapped.
Dap. It's called a dap.
It was a dap. They dapped the fuck out of it. They dapped each other.
It was the opposite of the Jerry Jones super white, everyone slap five, but also pound each other.
I feel like
it was perfect.
Sean McVay is definitely top three in NFL coaches currently in terms of connecting percentage on handshakes.
Daps.
I would say number one dap coach would be surprising to you guys. I think it's Pete Carroll.
Now that you mention it, I don't think that's surprising.
I don't think he's ever missed one. He's like
correct.
That. He's like that old dude from that Vine in the school wearing the backpack where he did like the six different levels to the handshake with the kid.
Oh, you know,
Vrabel's probably good because he played.
You know, sneaky one. I bet you Bruce Arians doesn't miss a dap. I bet you he's the type of guy. He's got that old guy swag.
Yeah.
Where he knows what he could handshake in any decade in the history of handshakes.
Uh-huh. He probably just like does cheers. He probably just always has a glass of Canadian whiskey and just tap the glass.
He's like asks his assistant, like, this guy just came in to meet me. Can you grab my handshake glass?
You'll have a drink?
Yeah,
no,
let's
I'm
go.
Fine. It's 9 a.m. No, I'll have a drink.
No, yeah, that's how we dap.
Like, hell, you will.
That's interesting. Who's the best dapper in all of...
Worst dapper.
That's the real question.
Worst dapper...
Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett's up there for sure. Bill O'Brien can't be good.
No.
I feel like Bill O'Brien misses a lot of them. Adam Gase is a weirdo. Adam Gase definitely goes in for the handshake and then pulls it back. He's got clammy hands. The eyes are all over the place.
He's probably weirdo. He does like the majority of his handshakes envelop somebody trying to give him the fist pound.
Zimmer right. has yeah. bad depth perception in his eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Zimmer just misses. He just keeps fucking like hitting people in the chest with his hands.
Zimmer probably just spits on you to say hello.
Patricia doesn't seem like a guy who really cares about the handshake.
No.
So he probably's in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So underdogs, Hank.
All of them.
Oh.
Jesus.
Okay. Put them down.
The one that I like the most, though, is probably the Ravens.
Okay.
Okay. I'm getting frustrated with Hank doing this the underdog thing just because he's so successful at it.
Well, and it sucks because we know I want to do it.
We'll mush it.
But we'll mush it, uh-huh. and we'll hop on the train. You can't get on this train midway through.
And then we'd ruin it for Hank. So, Hank, consider...
I'm close to getting off. I've been at the stop twice the past 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm going to get off at the next stop. And then I get close to it, and I look at the board, and I'm like, I'm just going to ride it one more week. This will probably be my last week. But stat of the week, if you blindly bet $100 on every NFL underdog moneyline so far this season, you'd be up $1,400.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay, so, Hank, consider... How about this? Since we're not getting on the underdog train, and we're letting you ride that and make money off it... how about you just split some of your earnings from this point forward with us? Because if we were on that train, you would immediately lose.
Mm-hmm. Deal. And you guys will take half my debt.
No, I didn't say that.
No deal.
Because you're not going to lose, so there's not going to be any debt.
Right.
Yeah.
So why would you even want us to give you the debt?
You never know.
Okay. Sounds like you're not
going to. I'll buy up all your debt.
And then
repackage it.
Yeah,
put it into a bond and sell it to PFT.
We should do synthetic, what are those, synthetic CDOs and then just sell our missed bets to other bookies.
People forget, because I haven't mentioned it in a while. I read The Big Short.
So fun fact, one of the guys that I went on the bachelor party with, his bookie actually started off his business by taking investments from everybody.
Okay.
And now he's using his profits that he's made. So he got like $3,500, $4,000 from a big group of people to start his bookie business.
Right.
And now he's paying them off like on a yearly basis in dividends and his own profits. And so he's basically started his own stock market.
I love it.
Based on losers.
I love
paying
it.
Paying it forward.
I love it.
My underdog is going to be the R-Words because homecoming weekend.
There we go.
9.5 points homecoming weekend.
Say no more.
Kyle Shanahan probably misses his dad dropping him off at the dances.
Say no more.
It's they're going to get their asses kicked. But the one weekend, the Redskins, I didn't bet on them last weekend.
Personal revenge again.
I thought about taking them straight up.
Yeah.
And I didn't. And so now I'm mad about that. And also just homecoming weekend.
You are in a personal revenge spot on the Dolphins and the Redskins. Sir, you are are you too big to fail?
No, it's a weird. Yes, I am too big to fail.
I would hope so, because if you chase the Redskins and Dolphins, you're in trouble.
Yes.
But you have to.
I think they were,
you need justice.
I think they were both 0-4 against the spread going into last weekend.
All right, my underdog is going to be the Eagles. I'm going to bet the money line on that. I don't even need the 2.5, 3 points. Give me the money line. That's going to be our Sunday night, Hank. You're going to love that. We're going to bet that. We're going to cheer for the Eagles big time. Give me your over, Hank.
Rams-Falcons.
That's mine too.
Okay.
PFT.
Jared's about to light it up this weekend.
Yes,
I can feel it in my plums.
Yes, he is.
He's going to want to tear.
He's a long time like Jared
like
fan.
Like a four game
yourself.
Tear.
Yeah.
Yep. Longer than you?
No. No. Actually, no. No. Fact, no. Fact check, no.
I should clarify that I did bet the Redskins against the spread last week against the Dolphins, and both teams fucked me over. Lost both the. Okay, so my over. Is Baltimore-Seattle, 49.5.
I like that as well.
Points, 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 points.
All right, let's finish with the unders, and then we'll go to Fantasy Fuck Boys.
I'm an idiot. I reverse myself. My over is the Saints-Bears, and my under is the Rams-Falcons.
Oh, damn.
Hank, do you want to do your down-unders?
When did you become sharp?
I don't know.
Like, you're betting sharp things. I don't like it. Do you see what he did?
He's hypnotized himself.
Yeah, he just took the lowest under... And he bet the over, and then he took the highest over, and he bet the under. Like, that's sharp
what
move.
A smart person would
right.
do.
Right. Everyone else does the reverse.
But, Hank, don't you think that those two high-powered offenses are going to score a lot of points?
I think the Rams are going to score a lot of points. I think the Falcons, you think the Falcons are going to score a lot of points because it's the Falcons, but they're actually
Julio
terrible.
Jones, Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. They got a lot of
Devontae Freeman.
Matt Ryan's not a bad quarterback.
Yep. A lot of guys. All right, PFT, your under.
My under is Houston Indy, under 47.5. I kind of like both the defenses.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, I'm going to finish off with Vikings Lions under 44. That feels like you said earlier, Kirk Cousins is going to have a Kirk Cousins game.
Yep.
The Lions are going to grind that out. All right, should we do it? Should we do Fantasy Fuckboys? And we got Derek Watt and Steve Wilkos.
What's up, boys?
What up?
It's Gio Gorgonzola.
Hey, Gio, stinky cheese beef.
My stardom is AI. No, not the answer. I'm talking artificial intelligence.
You just crossed us up.
Talking about real dolls.
They got this shit. You do ad reads, and you don't even say a word. That's the future. It's fucked.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right.
Probably, maybe. I don't know. It's scary.
What if this Fantasy Fuckboys is AI?
One day. You never know.
Right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Reboot.
My situm is gray hairs. LeBron's beard went gray. All the China situation stressed him out. He's getting old. Looking bad.
No.
He needs a dye job quick.
We don't gray hair shame.
That's fine. It's fine.
Freddie Procore.
Gio Gorgonzola. And my sleeper is Matt Ryan. It goes against what Hank just said, but only one quarterback has averaged 40 attempts per game the last 16. And that's right, it's Matty fucking Ice.
Hank's an idiot.
He's gonna make a shitload of money for Hank this weekend. What's up, fuckheads? This is Mao Zedong. I'm here to tell you this weekend I'm starting money. That's right, all the sticky green cash, all the cash money, all the change in my pocket. You know what you can use money to buy. That's right, soup, because it's soup season.
Oh. Tax return season, bitches.
I'm chilling.
Chili soup? Chili's a soup. I'm talking chowder, bisque, you name it. Wedding soup, broccoli cheddar, baked potato. I could go on and on and on. I'm sitting doing nice things for your mother. That's right, because it's going to backfire on her. You try to do something nice for her birthday. Set her up with something like some nice tickets to a good baseball game. To do the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
Next thing you know, the internet's talking about some random guy fucking her.
Bada
bing!
Love my mother.
Yeah, mother's man.
My sleeper's Saquon Barkley.
Do my laundry still.
People think that Saquon Barkley, he's been out. He's been out for a long time. People forget that he's coming back this week. And get him off your IR. Put him back onto your roster. Almost fucked PFT comms over with that one, but he's a smart guy. He remembered to check.
All right, what's up, guys? It's Frankie Fettuccini. My stardom this week is...
You use that name like five times.
That's fine. I don't give a fuck. My stardom this week is Brooks Koepka. He fucking put that nerd Rory McIlroy in a locker. He said he hasn't won shit in 5 years. Brooks, go, Brooks, go.
Go, Brooks, you fucking Blake.
My sit-em is Space Jam 2. If you watch Space Jam 2, you support China and all they're doing and the bad stuff, and we already disavowed that shit. LeBron is so transparent that he only wanted to say nice things about China because he wants to sell his stupid movie Space Jam 2. Space Jam 1's better. MJ's better than LeBron.
Great beard, old fuck.
My cousin sells them on bootlegs on the corner, though, if you want to see it before it comes out.
My sleeper is Mike Golick. Mike Golick will give you a butt massage that will put you to sleep. He gave a butt massage live on air today. Holy shit, that guy gave a butt massage.
TGFT probably wants one of them.
Stugatz. Ain't got an ass like this guy.
Nah, Stugatz fancy fuck boys.
All right, yeah, Mike Golick, he did that.
I saw that. Yeah, they were paying up a bet that they lost like 2 years ago.
Butt massage?
Yeah.
I thought it was Greeny. I had to do a triple take because I thought Stugatz was Greeny. I know. Trust me.
No, they're not touching butts anymore.
they've touched that butt enough. Okay, let's do Derek Watt. So we have Derek Watt on the show. No, we don't do that, although he told us a funny story about that. And before we get to Derek Watt,
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Oh. Y'all.
Cowboys.
We got it.
Cowboys. Nope. Texans. Texans.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, so let's do Derek Watt. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Derek Watt, the forgotten Watt brother. Is it okay if I say that?
That's fine. Whatever works for you, I'll take it.
Okay, well, you might be the forgotten Watt brother, but you probably are our favorite Watt brother because One, you went to the University of Wisconsin, which obviously I went to, and two, you're a fullback, which means PFT loves you.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate that, guys. I appreciate the support. You know, it's like you said, I see it all the time on Twitter. There's a third Watt brother, so I see it all the time.
Well, you're partially to blame for that. Now, your initials are DJ, and you could easily be DJ, and your brother TJ, and your other brother JJ, so that, I think, would go a long way in having people realize that you're a third Watt brother, but you decided at an early age that was not going to be your path?
This is true, yes. That could be a big, you know, significant role in it. But, yeah, when I was, I think like 5 or 6 years old, I just kind of came home one day and told my mom, no DJ, just Derek. And I know she had said the other day that – so she started calling me just Derek, not – you know, so she was using it like calling me just Derek. Hey, come here, just Derek. Uh-huh. I was like, no, Derek. So I don't know, just whatever. Yeah. I got DJ from Full House and DW from Arthur, stuff like that. I was like, just call me my name. So I kind of put an end on that stuff when I was a kid.
Okay. So we do know your brother, JJ. We haven't met TJ yet, haven't had the pleasure. JJ said he could kick your ass. Would you like to respond to that?
He's a big man, but, you know, we'll – we haven't really had any battles where we've had to worry about that. So, you know, we're brothers. We, you know, we fought when we were kids, but it was usually TJ and I versus JJ because he was much bigger than us at the time.
So when you guys go to – when you visit JJ's compound, the training compound.
No, his rustic log cabin.
Yeah, which we've been to. Yeah. What is the sport that you guys all compete in? And is there a point where – because we always get fascinated by this, like the Harbaugh brothers – they always talk about when they compete and then it gets a little too serious. Does it still get a little too serious sometimes when you guys are all competing in something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's – shoot, there's not one sport. It's whatever we're doing. We're always competing. And, you know, whether we're doing a workout and it's whoever's jumping the farthest in the sand pit, whoever's, you know, making the most shots, we're playing basketball, something like that, it's – whatever you're doing, you're arguing about something. It's never – no one's ever a clear-cut winner. There's always some sort of dispute, and competition's always at the forefront. And, yeah, it's always a battle of some sort, that's for sure.
I can imagine, yeah. Who was your favorite player that you've ever had to block for, and why is it Danny Woodhead?
Oh, I love Danny. Danny's a great guy. Obviously, I would – you know, I've known Melvin for 7 years at this point, and I've been around him, you know, been with him forever. But Danny honestly took me under his wing when I came in as a rookie. So I have – I love Danny. You know, him and his family are great. They took my wife in and I in when we were rookies. And, you know, I know you guys are big fans of him, and I'm a big fan of him as well.
Best friends.
Yes, absolutely. So you recently became a father. Did Phil Rivers start respecting you more once you had a kid? He's like, all right. All right, mother freaker, you're one-ninth of the way there. Now we can actually be boys.
Yeah, I said I got a long way to go, but it's a step in the right direction, and I told him there's no chance I'm catching you, man. It's I don't know how in the world they're doing that. That is wild.
Well, I have an idea of how they're doing it, but yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does he ever show up with all of his kids at once?
No, I've never seen them. I don't think I've ever seen them all together and once. I've seen them in, you know, little clumps. I don't know if they can all get to one place at one time in one vehicle.
I've always wondered that.
I think they have their own school bus, honestly.
He's going to get impressive. A show on TLC eventually.
That's so funny that, like, no one's seen all the kids at once. Yeah. Like, you see a few here, you see a few there, and then, like, you know, you piece it together in your brain, like, all right, I know those four, and I've seen those two, and then there's another three over there. That's perfect. So let's talk a little Badger football, because I am – now, obviously, it's a little different because you played, and it's always different on the player's side and the fan side, but I have my hopes up all the way now, and that means that I'm going to get them – my guts ripped out of my chest. Where are you – do you still watch the Badgers? Are you able to follow the team? I know it's been a few years since you've been – and in Madison, but are you able to follow the team, and how do you feel this team's going to do the rest of the year?
Definitely, yes. So we are able to follow the team. It's crazy. The game against Ohio State, I just saw the other day, it's going to be at noon Central. So that sucker will start at 9 a.m. out here. That's what's crazy about, you know, games. It's 9 a.m. start here. We're going to be in meetings on Saturday morning when it starts, but I'll be able to catch most of the second half. I usually am able to. I think they're great, man. They're off to a great start, as you know, you've been watching. I would love to not see your guts ripped out. Mine as well. I'm very invested. You know, always will be. You know, I still, there's still a few guys left that I played with when I was there. So it's good to see them, you know, and a lot of the coaches are the same. So always supporting the Badgers, and it'll be, you know, if they can beat Ohio State, it'll you know, really, I think, kind of put them over the that next step that'll get them some more respect in the polls.
Yeah, in a weird way, I don't want to say I don't want them to beat Ohio State in Columbus, but if they beat Ohio State in Columbus, then I would put it at a 0% chance we beat them again in Indy. So in a weird way, I want to use this as a recon mission and get close and then beat them in Indy and go to the college football playoffs and then win the national championship, and then I'll just die of happiness and more. Actually, no, I'll die of smugness on Twitter, just sticking it in everyone's face. I'll be the most insufferable person in the world.
I don't 100% disagree with that. It is hard to beat a team twice in 1 year, but I like to hope that we can do it. You know, okay. Worst case, like you said, recon mission, get close, get all their secrets, and you know that you can hang with them, and then take it to them in the Big Ten championship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That'd be real tough though if you lost in the Big Ten.
Did you ever bounce at Wando's or no?
No, I did not.
What was your? We'll do one totally not relatable question. What was your favorite bar in Madison?
I went to Wando's a decent amount. I would say Wando's is probably the place to be.
Wando's is the bar that they basically have, like, they have more draft picks than most non-Power 5 schools. Okay. In terms of bouncers.
In terms of, like, that's like where they have. That's like Nick Saban lets you work at a Mercedes-Benz dealership at Alabama.
Yeah, they'll have
at
years.
At Wisconsin, they just have you bounce at a bar.
Right, they'll have years where there'll be, like, four draft picks bounced at Wando's. Yeah.
I'm looking through this recent history of tweets. Your kid, Logan, is very cute. And I'm looking at the controversy going on between JJ and TJ fighting for who gets to be the favorite uncle. One just free tip, if you're an uncle out there, if you want to be known as a favorite uncle, just teach the kid that your name is favorite uncle and then your name. Mm-hmm. It's a really easy life hack. But I'm looking at the Halloween costumes that were sent by JJ and TJ. And JJ is gloating that he's the favorite uncle because he sent a cool lion as opposed to a pumpkin one. Can you confirm that JJ is the official favorite uncle?
Well, JJ actually sent both of those costumes. Him and his fiance sent both the lion and the pumpkin. TJ did not send a costume, so there's that.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So easy.
TJ did send, he sent a Steelers jersey, number 90. JJ got wind of that once TJ played. Whenever TJ's playing and I'm not playing, I'll let him wear it. So JJ said, a Texans jersey's in the mail, so we just got that a couple days ago. So they're battling it out. JJ was here 2 or 3 weeks ago. Logan would not smile. He couldn't get a smile out of him, and TJ was here this past weekend, and I think it was partially the circumstances, but the environment we were around. Logan was smiling a little bit more with TJ, so JJ kind of admitted the upper hand to TJ right now.
Oh, damn.
Okay, I like that. Keep us updated on the Uncle Power rankings as the season moves along. I want to talk to you real quick. I'm a big fan of fullbacks, as Big Cat mentioned earlier. Did you see former Wisconsin fullback Alec Ingold's fullback assist against in London? It was against the Bears, where he dove 3 yards into something. Have you ever even thought about doing that?
You got to do what you got to do. It's the goal line, man. And he made a great play there, and helped the running back get in, and that's what you got to do.
It was a pretty solid play. I've never seen that before. And then I'd like you to talk me through. Last year in the playoffs, you had an opportunity to score a touchdown in the game against the Ravens, and you pulled maybe the most fullback move of all time to try to get into the end zone, like a barrel roll from 2 yards out on the ground to get in. Can you walk me through that play?
Yeah, it was a ball that it was kind of low, and I tried to get low and dove for it, and no one was there touching me. I was like, shoot, I'm not in yet, so I tried to do the old stop, drop, and roll into the end zone. I thought I was in. Replay showed I was in, but the refs kind of called otherwise, and I still am touchdownless to this point. Well, that's unfortunate.
One in college. Yeah.
But, so that's 8 years of playing the position and one touchdown.
That's almost better, though, that you only have that one touchdown. That, to me, it's more of a fullback if you just get one and you're like, you know what? Scoring's kind of overrated. I'd rather let the other guy do it.
Yeah, one is better than having like four.
Yeah.
If you got like 10, then it's like, okay, this guy scores, but one is like, ooh, there's that one.
I got you. I respect that. I don't disagree.
JJ must has like four or five touchdowns, right? Shit.
That sucks.
Yeah. He plays defense, has more touchdowns. Damn. have you ever met Boltman?
Boltman, I don't think I've ever met him, no.
Damn. Okay. Well, that was a bad question by me.
You have a lot
clean of, it up for me, PFT.
I got you. You got a lot of footballs behind you. How many game balls are they giving to fullbacks these days?
Yeah, I got a couple. Some are for offense. Most of them are for special teams, you know, special teams player of the game.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Because that's where I'm making most of the impact. Yeah, I'm getting my tackles on special teams.
You know, we should have like a favorite uncle competition between us, like amongst the Watt brothers.
Oh,
like,
we just
which one of you guys?
Sending, yeah.
Yeah.
We started sending Derek's son a bunch of clothes and stuff.
Absolutely.
And we're like, actually, it's us.
Can we inject ourselves into this rivalry?
JJ as uncle?
Sure.
That would be fun. Sure. Hey, speaking of that, did you, when the hey JJs were like at their peak, did you notice them? Did you know that there was going on?
Yeah, so my wife, that's funny. My wife was actually just, I told her I was doing this, and she said, didn't they used to kind of make fun of JJ with the hey JJ stuff? And I was like, yeah, those were going around. And definitely saw a few of them, that's for sure. Yeah, they made it pretty big.
Well,
we've grown as people.
Well, not only that, but I think we knew that it was, you know, JJ actually, like, dealt with it perfectly by, like, kind of getting in on the joke. And then we've had a couple of times where he's come by, and it's always been fun. And that's the best way. It was actually a perfect lesson in how to just disarm a joke, is to just accept it, and then it kind of dies on its own. No one does 100%. Them anymore. Yeah, yeah. That's funny though. That's like I always think about that. Like shit.
Yeah, we were kind of assholes. But you know what? Like we actually, the fact that we were assholes to JJ to begin with, and now we've like kind of calmed that tension down between us. Like we like JJ a lot, and I think he likes us too. So it was perfect the way it worked out. I got one last question for you. What's your favorite word that Philip Rivers uses instead of a cuss word?
It's got to be dadgum. There's really only that and shoot. It's a shoot.
And
dadgum.
And mother freaker.
Mother freaker, yeah.
And gracious to Pete.
Gracious to Pete. There you go. Shoot. Shoot. He's got me saying shoot.
Yeah.
I know about it.
Yeah.
But gracious to Pete, he definitely does say too. And he's not yelling them at us very often. It's usually at the other team or, you know, in lightheartedness. But, yeah, it's usually dadgum, gracious to Pete. I forgot about that one.
What about at the end of a game in the fourth quarter? Let's say it's like, I don't know, 6:30 p.m. on a Sunday and you guys are down a score. What's Phil saying to the team? What's he saying on the sideline? What's he saying in the huddle?
Man, he's just, let's go. We got to go down a score. We got to go win this one. And he's good at being that leadership role, and he'll you know, when you do something wrong, he'll let you know about it. But you know, he's got that motivator factor to him, and you know, you're never out of the game when you got Philip at quarterback.
Yeah.
I always feel like you have a chance.
Yeah, he's been in that spot before, so you can feel it.
Definitely.
All right, my last question. So JJ did the commencement speech in Madison. I'm assuming TJ will do it at some point. Which leads me to ask, me versus you, who do we think has a better chance of doing a commencement speech in Madison?
I would guess you 100%.
Because I'd say we're on the same level of grad at this point. Like, the TJ and JJ are way above us, but I feel like we just go a package deal, the two of us, and we pitch it to them. You get a Watt brother, and you get a guy who probably they don't want to be associated with the university, and we'll throw that at them.
I'm down for that. I mean, neither of those two graduated, so that's the weird part.
Oh, good point.
And you did?
So that's the craziest part. I graduated.
Oh,
you're an alumni.
I did too. Let's go.
So we got two graduates, and combined has to be better than a single non-graduate, right?
I agree.
Good points all around.
I agree. All right, well, Derek, thank you, man. And by the way, we need to, I think it was actually because you were about to have a kid, but we proposed the idea to JJ. We want to do it next year. We want to have a Part of My Take versus the Watt Brothers Olympics, where it's me, Hank, and PFT versus you, TJ, and JJ. We can pick 10 events, and we just duel it out for a couple hours at his rustic cabin one day in the spring.
I like our odds.
All right. Yeah, that would make for some good TV, some good video, whatever you got. And if you guys – we'll accept that challenge every day of the week.
Okay.
You don't know the events,
first
though.
First challenge, most college degrees wins. We have two out of our three. You have one out of three.
Done.
All right. You guys can take the first one. That might be the only one.
There we go. All right, Derek. Well, thank you, man. We appreciate it. Good luck rest of the season, man.
No problem. Thanks, guys, for having me.
See you, man. That interview with Derek Watt was brought to you by...
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and Hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
And now, Steve Wilkos.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Steve Wilkos, legend in the... What? You don't think you're a legend?
No, I don't.
Why?
A legend of what?
Let's do it. Marine, Chicago police officer, Jerry Springer's right-hand man, has his own show. Legendary.
Yeah. I've been very fortunate with the things I've done. The Marines was basically because out of high school, I couldn't get into college, so... But I always did want to be a Marine. My dad was an Army paratrooper, and I always thought the military was kind of cool. And my dad was a Chicago cop. I became a cop. The TV thing was just a fluke. You know, I went to work on the Springer Show to provide security for one day and, didn't think it was going to turn into 25 years of TV.
Yeah.
Did you have the shaved head back then, too?
No. We were down in Florida. We were taping Springer Break shows down at Daytona Beach. And one of the producers, and I kept my, I was going bald anyways, and one of the producers, and I kept it very close, like Marine Corps style. And he goes, why don't you shave your head? He goes, really stand out. And I went to a barbershop, but they only took it down so much, and I went to my hotel room and I shaved the rest. And I looked like I ran through a thorn bush, you know what I mean? It looked terrible. And but I did it, and it did. Like, my popularity on the show became...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think that had at least something to do with it?
It certainly made me stand out more on the show.
Because I've never recognized a recurring security guard on any other show, any other talk show, but I was like, that's the guy with the bald head. That's Steve. And then once I knew your name, then I found out your last name.
Right.
Then you got your own show, and I'm like, oh, the bald guy Steve Wilkos is getting his own show, which I watched, and I really enjoyed Steve Wilkos' show. I like how it showed a different side of you.
Oh, definitely. The great thing I like to say about my show is, you know, most people in daytime TV are all chasing the same thing, right? Celebrities. And, you know, Jerry had his show and Maury does the DNA. And, you know, the thing about my show is we're dealing with nobody else is doing. We're, you know, stories of abuse, molestation. You know, we do the cheating and a little bit of DNA too, but... A lot of our shows are like crimes that are being adjudicated right now in the legal system, and people are taking lie detector tests. And we're getting people that are going to court within the next few weeks, and they're coming out taking lie detector tests. And I'm like, why would you do that? But
right.
I'm glad they are.
Right.
Not a great legal strategy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would never take one.
How good are lie detector tests? I've always felt like people just – you could hear one person say they're – they're great, and one person says they're absolute trash.
I do think they're very accurate, especially I think Dan Rybakov is one of the top lie detector examiners in the country. And here's a perfect example, because when we – Dan started working for us when we made the move to Stamford, Connecticut. And I'll never forget this story where it was a guy who was dating a girl, and the girlfriend said, I know you're sleeping with your girlfriend, like just friend. And, man, they had me convinced, like they were – but they both failed the test, his supposed just friend, and they both failed for sleeping with each other. But they were like, no, no, it's not right. And they were like – and so after the show was over, I said – I told the producer, bring each one of them in separately into my office. And I said, come on, man. Tell me the truth. It's just you and me right now. Did you sleep together? He goes, oh, yeah. You know? So, like, you know, then I said, I'm not questioning anymore.
Right. Like, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. So you're, like, the human element of trying to believe someone, but then right. the lie detector
and truthfully, I would say probably 80% to 85% of the time, you don't need the lie detector test, right? Because somebody's telling their story, and you just like when you're a cop, yeah. you figure it out. Like when, and then, you know, if you make them tell the story a couple times and this things start changing, well, then it's not true.
Right.
Yeah. You know right away.
I've always heard that a way to pass the lie detector test, because they ask you a baseline question or a series of baseline questions at the start, right, that they yeah. know you will answer truthfully. Right. So if I say, like, what's your name? You would say Steve.
Right.
And it's like, okay, we've got that baseline for what the truth looks like. I've heard that if you squeeze your butt real tight when you answer those questions,
no.
it produces the same stimulus
no, because,
as fear does.
Because,
on a
first of all,
test.
We're measuring your, like, I'm not very scientific at all, but I have, I think, a brief thing where it's reading your brain, you know, waves and, you know, your physical response to it. And when you're making up a story, when you're recalling memories that are truthful, your body produces a certain stimuli, you know, from your brain. And when you have to create something, it's a totally different thing. So that's all.
Interesting.
That's all.
What about
putting tags in your shoes?
Yeah.
I would love if we could find out everybody that comes on the show, if we could search their history browser.
Yes.
That who? How many yes. people beat a lot of? I even asked the guy this last week on the show. I go, I bet you any money that if we checked your history browser, you looked on Google to see how you beat a lie detector test. He goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, all right, so similar to that, you were a Chicago police officer. Is it true that if you eat a lot of pennies, you can pass a breathalyzer?
I've never heard that.
Okay.
I've heard that. Keep pennies in your mouth. I've also heard this is from.
Oh, so don't swallow them.
No, don't swallow them. Get the copper or whatever gets in your mouth, and then it will like, you know, not.
But see, in Chicago, in the 12 years I was a police officer, I wrote one DUI.
Right.
Nobody wants to write DUIs.
Right.
I mean, we're busy. I worked in a very high crime district, so I wanted to get guns and drugs and bad guys. Nobody wanted to write a DUI,
right.
So
everyone had pennies in their mouth.
If you were nice, I mean,
right by you. Yeah.
Well, this actually ties in with what I've heard how to pass a DUI, which is mustard packets.
Ooh. It,
Ludacris taught me that. That is a big Chicago.
You know,
that one surprised me, knowing that you only wrote
packets.
One DUI in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right, because like I said, it's tons of paperwork and it takes you off the street for something that then you have to go to travel court. Never want to do it. But the best way to beat a DUI. Don't drink.
Yeah, take an Uber.
I thought you were going to give me an actual trick here.
Did you have any moment when you started getting the celebrity where maybe like the police officers you did serve with were like, hey, what's this guy? He thinks he's bigger than us, or he thinks he's better than us.
No, you know, actually, even now, I mean, God, I've been off the police department for 18 years now, which is crazy because for me, that was like going to be a large part of my life. But even I was just I have a lake house in Wisconsin. I went back earlier in September, and I went down to a casino in Des Plaines, Rivers Casino.
Okay, yeah,
in
yeah.
Des Plaines, Illinois.
Yeah.
And they literally built it about three blocks from my old house when I lived in Illinois. Thank God that I wasn't there when I was there. But I was coming home late, and I was trying to get home because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm doing like 100 miles an hour. And the state trooper pulls me over, and he just walks up and goes, Steve? I go, yeah. He goes, oh, man. And I'm like, oh, my God, this ticket's going to be bad, you know?
Yeah, but, yeah.
No, so, you know, first of all, I'm very pro-police, and I do a lot of things with the police, support the police. So most cops, I think, are really cool with me.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you started working on the Jerry Springer Show, how many of those fights in like the first couple seasons were you actually scared for yourself or scared that they might do some damage on stage?
Never. Never was I scared because, you know, I had all my guys with me, you know, doing the show. But there was one time I was embarrassed. We had these two guys were fighting over this one dude's wife. One guy was sleeping with her, the other guy's married to her. Nobody, and they're not big guys. They're kind of smaller guys, but, you know, and they're hillbillies from Kentucky. So, you know, they just don't look intimidating. And nobody tells me that both of them are all-state high school wrestlers.
Oh, they were. No.
Man, they were throwing us around like we were rag dolls, you know? And, like, it was embarrassing. I landed on my ass. I got thrown off the stage. And I came back, and I told the producer, I go, hey, man, you know, what's the deal? And I go, you know, that's information I would kind of need to know.
Yeah, you don't fuck with wrestlers.
Like, if we have, like, a professional boxer on the show, give me a heads up. Yes. You know? So, yeah, that was the kind of thing. And the fights, people say, oh, those fights weren't real. I'm only going to speak about when I was on the show because I left a long time ago, 2007, to start my own show. But when I started in 94, but the heyday of the fights was like 1997 to 2001, like that four-year period. And I'm telling you, I tore a groin. I had a concussion, got hit in the head with a chair.
Did you bleed from that?
The concussion?
Yeah, when you got hit in the head?
No, it just, boom, it caught me on the side of the head.
For some reason, this might have been just like an implanted memory that didn't actually happen, but I thought there was an episode where you bled.
No, I've never bled on the shows.
You should have cut yourself like a wrestler.
Well, I bled on my hands and stuff from all the girls digging their fingernails in me. But that was it. And then, like, oh, and I've had two major back operations, you know, from the Springer Show. So I always told people, if those fights were fake, then I'm really mad because then I got hurt for nothing.
Right.
But, When the uncensored tape, Jerry Springer's Uncensored Tape 2, the second one that came out, me and my wife, who was one of the executive producers on the Springer Show, we watched it at home, and I was like, holy cow, this is really violent, man.
Right.
Like, it was, and this is real violence. So, yeah, so during that time, I mean, the fights, listen, and I always told people all the time, if you're on a show and some dude's sleeping with your wife, ain't going to take a lot to get you going.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where you want to kill this guy.
Now, was it a situation like sometimes we'll talk to firefighters and firefighters are like, yeah, we want to work. We want to go fight fires. Sitting around and having nothing to do is the worst. Would you have shows where you're like, I want there to be fights. I want to be able to get in the mix. I don't want to sit there and just watch.
We wanted fights because it made for a better show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like when the studio went up for grabs, I mean, I can't describe to you vividly enough what that was like being in a Springer studio in Chicago. And like I said, the four prime years of, you know, just when Jerry was number one show in the world. I mean, it was like the biggest sporting event inside a little TV studio. I mean,
the adrenaline.
Like the executive producer would try to yell at me. I'd be on stage. I'm only 20 feet away. I couldn't hear him.
Right.
Because that's how loud it was in there. And you know, we had audience members getting into it. And it was just, it was like the craziest show in the history of TV.
I love it. I love this shit.
What about instances where there'd be women fighting and one of the women would be wearing like a tube top? Because I felt like that happened a lot. There were tons of tube tops.
Oh, yeah. We ripped a lot of clothes off on that show.
Yeah. So there's a woman who she's going after another lady that's sleeping with her husband or whatever, and the breast pops out, as they often do during fights.
So hot.
So hot. Really hot. That gets you going if you're a guy.
Like when we're like 13 years old.
That was as good as it got on television. It was that
and like Howard Stern censored on E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
So when that's happening and maybe there's just one breast that's popped out of the tube top and it's your job to keep them apart, do you have to think, I need to avoid touching her breast when I'm holding her back?
I did whatever I wanted to. There was no rules on Springer.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's
just break up the fight.
Right. I mean, and you know what's funny? I don't even know why I was thinking about this today. Like I did skits at the end of the show that, you know, like we would walk with certain guests and we did things like, and I'm sure nowadays in you know, where you can't do anything, you got to be so politically correct, that, you know, people would probably be appalled, where I thought it was super hilarious when I was doing them, you know?
Very different time.
Yeah, so there was just no rules on Springer. Like, I always equivalent to being in high school with your buddies and pulling each other's pants down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we did. You went to work. There wasn't like, okay, we're going to do this. We just went in by the seat of our pants and taped and
sounds like the best job of all time.
It does sound like fun.
It was the funnest time of my life.
What did you ever do the thing where, like, if you're trying to break up a fight, but you also kind of want them to fight more, where you do
grab them,
but you're kind of pushing them together?
Yes.
We love that move.
We did that. And then, like, if I didn't like you, I let you get your ass kicked for a while.
Right.
You know, I was kind of slow on getting up on stage. You know, but if I, you know, because, see, and I always say this, when guys don't want to look bad when they're in a fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about ego, man. You know, we're the tough guy. I can't look bad. When women fight, they didn't give a damn about how they looked or what was going on. Like, they just were like, you know, two starving dogs going at each other, you
right.
know? And guys, like, they're looking like, hey, Steve, when are you getting up here?
Yeah,
you
get know? Up like, here. Break yeah. this up.
Right.
Yeah.
So the women didn't care.
I read something somewhere where you were talking about how there was so much hair ripped out when the women fought that you would start to collect it.
I did. So, again, now, like, nowadays, if you did that, you'd probably get in trouble, right?
But, well,
like,
it's creepy well, yeah, it's no fine. Matter
yeah,
when.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
right. go you ahead.
Had a hair collection.
Story.
No, yeah, yeah.
So the women would just pull their hair out, and, like, you know, I'd pick it off the stage and throw it in the back. Well, I started a little ball, and I just start wrapping up the hair. And then after a couple of years, the thing was like a bowling ball, you know, of just tightly packed hair in it.
Where did you keep it? Where'd you keep it?
Backstage.
You just pat, like,
it was just all
we,
the just,
so anybody ask you, hey, Steve, what's
we,
up with
we
the giant
had, like,
hair ball?
We were in NBC Tower, so we had all these, like, shelves and stuff, and it just had all kind of props and for all different shows, not just for our show, because there was a lot of shows being mm-hmm. taped. And I literally just had that bowling ball of hair.
That's
man.
Unbelievable.
And I do wonder, like, what happened
yeah.
to that ball?
Is it still sitting there in a corner somewhere?
Oh my God! I would yeah. I mean,
imagine. Yeah,
but
like
then
the Viking funeral.
We
for
had
that
these
thing.
Old security shirts. They were like bowling shirts. And
yeah, they were awesome.
Black.
You looked
yeah,
cool.
I loved them. And one time, this girl, she had so much makeup on, she got in a fight. And she ran smack dab into my face, or my chest, and her perfectly makeup face left her outline on my shirt. It looked so cool, right? Well, then we took the shirt off, and we hung it in the offices at Springer Show. Like, that's a really cool thing. And, like, when we moved, I should have took the shirt down. And who
the
knows who has that
hair.
Shirt?
Actually, no, it's good that you left the bowling
ball
hair.
The bowling
ball
hair.
Yeah,
is,
yeah, yeah.
Is, it, when I was younger, I thought it was cool. Now it'd be super gross. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm curious to know, though, about the bowling ball of hair. What color was it? Because I
multi.
Feel
multi.
Yeah.
Everything.
Multi.
So when you combine them all together, it didn't appear. I would say mostly guess
darker.
I got in fights.
It looked darker, but there was,
you
know,
you had
blonde
a lot of
streaks in it.
You had yeah. a lot of, like, peroxide yeah. blondes on that show.
I mean, I'll say this. During the years on Springer, man, we had a lot of good-looking women on that
yeah.
show. I mean, people say we're hillbillies or what, but they were good-looking, you know.
And you had all their hair.
We had all their hair.
Did you guys
you think about it. You go on a TV show, and, you know, you're walking out with a bald spot.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean? Like,
yes.
There's no other TV show that was going to happen.
Yes.
Did you ever consider nailing down all the furniture on stage?
No, because I think that added to, you know, the excitement, the chairs flying and all that. We just never thought about it. It was, like I said, I got hit with a chair, and it was a heavy chair. And then after that, I think we went to lighter chairs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a smart yeah. move. What's your chair throwing record? I remember that one time you threw the chair.
And it stuck in the wall.
That was real?
Well, you see, if you yeah. watch that show, you see my reaction, like, and everybody, like, the studio was going crazy. I throw the chair. And if you watch the tape of that show, I'm stunned.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, holy cow.
I'll show you PFT.
That's like when Walter White threw the pizza on the roof in Breaking Bad.
I wrote a blog about it back in 2013. I think I was watching the show live when it happened.
We cut out the wall, that part of the wall that hangs in our offices.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So it's a one in a million shot.
Well, you see, they don't have... You
don't have afterwards.
After,
yeah.
Because, like, I didn't even see the thing stuck. Then when I saw it stuck in a wall, I'm like, holy... Holy moly.
So what's your chair throwing record? Have you ever tried? Like, see how many feet, yards you could throw a chair?
Well, the stage isn't really big, so...
We should probably get you out in a field or something.
But you know what's crazy? It's like monkey see, monkey do, right? I was doing it, and then, like, all our guests do it now. Like, instead of me throwing a chair, they throw the chair. And so I'm like, hey, man, that's great, because I got a torn labrum in my shoulder right now.
Right.
Uh-huh. We were talking with Jerry a little bit about this, but he wasn't the security guy, so I don't know the insight he had to the backstage operation that you guys used. Because I know at the Maury show, at least, there's a very strict regimen of, like, keeping people in certain rooms at certain times so they don't run into each other before they're on camera. Did you ever have any fights that took place backstage that weren't on camera?
Yeah, that happened once in a while, just because, you know, somebody who knew who's working a production assistant, they don't know the routine, they slip up, somebody got to, and all of a sudden, I was in my office, Steve, you know, big fights breaking out, and we'd go in there. So that happened once in a while. But for the most part, it was like clockwork. We had the operation down pretty good.
Yeah. When somebody got hurt or injured during a fight on stage, did anybody ever press charges? Or was it more like, what happens on the show stays on the show?
No, because everybody that comes on, you're signing a million waivers and, you know, waiving your right to lawsuits and all that. So if anything, it would go to mediation. You couldn't sue. But there was one time when these two guys were fighting. And so before the show really took off, our stage was, you know, a wooden stage, probably about 2 feet higher than the concrete floor in NBC Studios. And it didn't go all the way to the wall. So, like, you watch those old clips, somebody's coming up and then they took two steps up onto the stage. Well, one time these two guys were fighting and the one guy falls off the stage. He's just laying there. And me and Mike McDormand, he's the head of my security on my show now, we run over there. We're like, get up, get back in there, you know, like, keep fighting, you know. The guy goes, I can't, you know, I broke my leg. I'm like, bullshit, your leg's not broke. Get up there. He goes, no, really, my leg's broke. We peel his jeans up, and his bone is sticking to his leg. And we're like, okay. Oh, man, he's telling the truth.
So. He doesn't need a lie detector test to figure out that he's got a broken leg. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What about the time you got hit in the face with a bowl? That's another favorite moment. I don't even know where that bowl came from.
So either did I, right?
Okay.
So, like, you know, you do your show, and I'm really not looking at my surroundings like, I guess there was a wooden chest with a, like, metal bowl just for decorations. Like, you know, who are we? Like, some Katie Couric show. Like, why do we have that? Like, the whole set looks industrial looking, and then we have a wooden chest with a little metal bowl. You know, it's so stupid. I didn't even know it was on the set. But anyways, this woman was on the show because she believed that her daughter was poisoning her. And when you see the daughter, she's like 20 years old. She's really good looking. She seems so sweet. Well, she turns out she failed for pouring bleach in her mother's orange juice every day, a little bit, you know. So, you know,
Can you gradually poison somebody with bleach, or is that just an all or nothing thing?
I have no idea, but that's what she
was
doing.
If I were to do it, I would just use a lot of
bleach. But you would think that you would taste it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, bleach. But anyways, the mother gets so mad, she runs back and gets that bowl and tries to whip it at her daughter, but it, like, shot out this way, and it just... I really thought my eye came out of
it. It was a perfect shot.
Boom. I mean, direct hit. And I, you know, I went down. I'm like, oh, my God, is my eye still in my head? My wife came running up on stage, and, you know, everybody's like, we're going to lock her up. I go, no, because the show is fantastic.
Right.
You know, because it's such a great story. I said, no. They're like, we'll take you to the hospital. I go, no, I'm not bleeding. I'm fine. You know, my eye's still in my head. So after the show, the lawyers and, you know, our production manager comes up, don't worry, we're going to take that out of the show. I go, are you crazy? I go, you leave that in the show.
Yes.
And it was our highest rated show ever.
Absolutely.
Steve goes down.
Yes. You went down. Yeah. It came out of nowhere.
Did anyone ever approach you about being an action star?
Mm. No. When Springer was pretty popular, I did wrestling, you know, like, all not WWE type wrestling, but, like, I did bunch of, like, circuits. It was like Michigan Championship Wrestling, Virginia Championship Wrestling. Like, there was like a circuit. I forgot what it's even called, but I had to get my wrestler's license and all that. And, you know, but I've done some, like, you know, we did Austin Powers 2. I did some stupid Pauly Shore movie. You know, we did a lot of, we did some sitcoms and stuff. But, you know, I'd like to do a lot more, but I guess either my agents are really lazy or people don't want me. So.
You could play like the stunt double for Tom Colicchio if he ever was in an action movie. Like, you would do all the stunts.
Top chef guy.
Top chef.
You also kind of look like Cal Ripken Jr. Do you ever get that?
Oh, my God. Uh-huh. Cal Ripken gets Steve Wilkos.
Really?
I know that for a fact.
You really? Because we've had him on this show, too. Yeah, and, like, it's
I get it every day.
With
I get it every day of my life. In fact, my son, he's a baseball player. He went to Cal Ripken's baseball camp. And we get there. We drove down to Maryland to pick him up because he's down there for 10 days or whatever it was. And, you know, it's not a lot of people in the stadium. So we're walking on. And all of a sudden, there's a line of kids with baseball cards asking me to sign their cards.
Damn.
And I go, I'm not Cal Ripken. And then the pitching coach, Jay Witasik, who used to play in the major leagues, he looks at me and goes, hey, Cal's not here today. Do the kids a favor and just sign Cal Ripken.
Did you sign him?
I'm signing Cal Ripken because they told me to.
I've got two questions then because we weren't allowed to ask these to Cal when he came on the show. Did you ever do steroids, Cal?
Did I do steroids?
Yeah.
Oh, am I Cal Ripken?
Yeah, you're Cal Ripken.
Oh, well, then I'm going to answer yes because everybody in Major League Baseball
there
was
we go.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other one is, I mean,
about
Kevin
the wife
cast
of Cal. So I heard that story. You know, so I'm the biggest baseball fan in the world, okay? So, and I, when we were in Chicago, all the baseball players would come to the show before their games and stuff. And everybody would tell that story, you know, about Kevin Costner. He, like, forgot his wallet, Cal, comes back home. Kevin Costner's, you know.
That would have been a great Jerry Springer episode, by the way.
Right. Yes. And then, like, they start fighting. Costner hits him in the head with a lamp, and then they have to cancel that game. And I guess a game was canceled.
Yes, it was. The lights. The lights. So what really happened, Cal?
So, I mean, I've never met Cal. Like I said, I do guest host on the MLB Network, and I see Billy. And how do you ask that question? Like, it's true,
you can't.
Right?
You can't.
Like, everybody in baseball swears by that story.
It's the usually
it might be
when,
a big urban legend.
We have people come in, they tell us like you can't ask these questions. But I don't think we ever would have asked that. You can't ask that question. Mm-hmm. Can't be like, hey, you get.
But you know
you
what?
Get
if
cucked
you
by
did,
Kevin Costner.
Yeah, it would have been your highest rated show.
Yeah, that's true.
You could do a lot worse than Kevin Costner in terms of like somebody cucking you.
You almost said Kevin Cuckner.
Kevin Cuckner. It was like, for example, Pauly Shore. If you got cucked by Pauly Shore, that's
like,
an issue.
I mean, the story to me, like, yeah, it sounds great. It's a great story. But, like, if you're Cal Ripken's wife, do you really just start, like, wouldn't you go, like, somewhere else other than your home?
Right.
Like, you know, I'm sure, like, Cal Ripken's not doing household chores.
Right.
You know, she ain't either. Like, you know, they got a housekeeper, all this stuff. Like I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, nobody's having sex in my house unless it's me.
There you go.
With my wife.
Hell
you know?
Yeah. There you go. There you go, Steve.
Loves
Steve,
his wife.
Steve.
All right, I got one last
no,
question.
No, mine is Steve.
It's
like Jerry, Mike, Steve. Just drawn out.
All right, my last question. SeatGeek question.
Like a white tight end.
Put in promo code TAKE. Yeah, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You get $10 off if you put in promo code TAKE, SeatGeek. Okay, so you have been doing this for a long time. The adrenaline must be awesome when you're breaking up fights, when you're talking to people who are about to fight. Do you ever find yourself, like, what does Steve Wilkos do for hobbies? And do you ever find yourself when you're sitting in the comfort of your own home, like, man, maybe I'll go out to the bar tonight and just try to break up something. Like,
well,
just want to go get
no.
one in the wild.
Well, you know, I grew up in Chicago and I hung out with tough guys and I fought a lot when I was a kid. Then I went into the Marines, which is the whole macho, we're a tough guy thing, and did a lot of fighting in there. Then I was a police officer and did a lot of fighting on the job and had to break up a lot of fights on the Springer. I'm 55 years old, man. I don't want to tangle with anybody, you know? I like being comfortable.
You don't get the itch every now and then?
No, not at all.
Really?
I mean, I wake up and I haven't done anything and I hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've taken a beating over my life, so I have no... No, man.
You're good having someone else do security for you
when
now.
When you know you're getting old and your body's being up, like, I play golf and I'm sore afterwards,
right,
okay?
Right.
So that's the stage of life I'm in. So breaking up fights or getting a fight with anybody, no way.
Okay.
Do you have any recommendations for somebody that might be looking to break up a fight? If you're on the sidewalk, you see two bull elephants going after it, what's the best technique to break that fight up?
Always from behind.
Always from behind.
That's don't how I live my life.
In between. Always grab from behind. And chokehold. I always, well, see, that's the thing. Oh, now chokeholds, you can't do that anymore.
Right,
yeah. Some
but
guy
that's the
die.
Most effective thing in the world.
Right.
Right? You choke put so many chokeholds, they can't breathe. Yeah. Right. They're going to stop fighting really quick.
Put them to sleep.
Yes.
Just quick. What, all right, so
well,
we
were
choking.
We were choking a guy out backstage on Springer one time.
Backstage
and they
for
hit
fun?
It on camera.
Was it just for fun? Like
no,
for sport?
It wasn't for fun. He knocked out his sister-in-law. And we start choking him, and he goes, I can't breathe. I go, yeah, that's the whole point.
That's what we're doing here, buddy. That's great.
We should choke each other out recreationally.
Just put each other to sleep.
Yeah, is there any danger in me just like choking
see that,
the
now
cat
that
out?
Sounds really creepy.
Yeah, that does. Yeah. Actually, that one-ups the hair thing.
The hair thing? Just
and
choking
we just,
each
like,
other
what
out?
Do we do? We just choke each other
let's
out.
Choke
I'm
each
bored.
Other out.
I'm bored. Cut off the circulation of my brain.
All right. Well, Steve, this has been awesome.
Well, thanks
thank
for
you.
Having
you're welcome back anytime. Yeah. So this has been a ton of fun. Appreciate it, man.
That interview with Steve Wilkos is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be a very slow process. I'll tell you a story about one company. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskovitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. It's got technology that identifies people with the right experience, and it invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates quickly. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and he said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. Here's a fun true story about ZipRecruiter.
Tell me.
When I was working at my last desk job before I quit to try just writing full-time, I knew that I couldn't quit because it was a small business and they didn't have anybody to do my job. So what did I do? I went on ZipRecruiter and I found the guy that was going to take my job. I self-cucked myself on purpose.
Damn.
Intentionally using ZipRecruiter, found a great candidate. He came in, crushed it. I quit. Not a guilty conscience. Walked out the door. Felt great. And if I wanted to get a new job, I would have gone to ZipRecruiter and submitted my resume there. Boom. Circle of life. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Okay, let's get to some segments. First up, we have our Fyre Fest of the Week. Hank, go ahead. You struggle every week. With this,
what do you have this week, Hank?
Try. You got this.
I ordered
Chinese food and they forgot the crab rangoons.
No.
Oh, that would have been good.
I ordered a little, like a dartboard thing for my apartment, and I sent it somehow to not my last apartment, but the apartment I first moved into when I moved to New York.
So ooh. Two spaces ago.
Yeah. Somehow, some way. And then my roommate, it was kind of awkward because my roommate, who I haven't talked to like since I moved out, was like, hey man, how are you? Like, I was like, what the fuck? He's like, we should catch up. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, by the way, you have something here. I was like, oh,
shit.
Fuck.
I got that. My old landlord, texted me right before your Rough and Rowdy fight and was like, why did I just get 15 oversized foam cowboy hats? And I was like, whoops, just throw them out.
I also love that you're moving in with a girl for like the first time and the first thing you do is buy a dartboard.
Yeah, like let's make this a fucking
that's guy stuff.
Incorrect. Shout out to my brother. I think he got it to me for my like 20th birthday. I've had the board forever and I've just been taking it from apartment to apartment. I finally ordered the casing for it so I can actually use it.
Okay, so it's gonna work now.
Yeah,
cool. All
right, well, I have to go to Brooklyn.
Can we come play?
God knows when, and then it'll be set up. Yes, when it's set up, you guys.
We should start a league.
Yeah. You should get one of those sick 3-in-1 tables too. That's got the like people that used to have those pool tables. That was also like a ping pong table and air hockey. It was great in theory, and then you finally get it, and it was like the size of just like it was like 4x4.
Yeah,
and it wasn't standard size. It just sucked and took up space.
We should do that in the office.
Yeah,
crazy.
We should.
All right, Pitsy, what do you got?
My Fyre Fest is when I was up in the Great White North, Canada. I changed a lot of my money over. I got Canadian dollars, And now I've got like 200 Canadian dollars just sitting in my apartment right
Loons?
Now.
Loonies?
They're not. Well, are they loonies if they're paper? I think they are. Yeah. I got like 200, maybe 300 loonies that I didn't change back and didn't lose enough of in the casino. So now I'm just sitting around. And I'll never get rid of them because like I still have Hong Kong money.
Yeah.
I probably have like $300 worth of Hong Kong money on my nightstand. But it's cool to pull out every now and again if I'm like, in Something About Mary,
yeah.
If I'm shopping somewhere, I'll accidentally pull out some Hong Kong money. I'll be like, oh, sorry, I was just in Hong Kong protesting for democracy.
You should start an exchange service.
Yeah, so it's very specific.
Yeah.
If you need to change out money, if you're going to Canada or Hong Kong and you need less than $300, come see me.
He's got you hooked up. All right, my Fyre Fest of the week. I had a long week. I had some personal stuff, the real stuff, but this is obviously we're not talking about that. So I had the worst thing that happened to me this week. I went to J. Crew to get a couple fall fits, as white guys do, and I got noticed while looking at sweaters, and the guy was like, Big Cat looking for sweaters. And it just was
so Fyre Fest is you're so popular no, that you can't it even was go so, shopping without people.
I don't know what it is about being like
so famous that you can't even
wait, no, Hank, that's not
hold
no,
on,
no,
stop, Hank.
His Fyre Fest is that he's so famous that he got
no, I'm embarrassed.
Shopping for sweaters because he lost so much weight that his old sweaters
no,
don't fit.
No, I don't
that sucks, man.
I didn't have old sweaters. I was trying to get a couple sweaters to be like kind of a human
Tropical
being.
Bros doesn't do long sleeves.
Why are you? Come on, relax. Those guys are cool. But yeah, no, there's something about it. I don't know what it is. It's embarrassing to shop for clothes.
To get caught shopping for
yeah,
clothes?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, don't you have the internet? Whenever yeah, I see no, somebody in a store, I look at them. I'm like, look who has dial up.
Yeah.
Loser.
Or like, oh, look at this guy. He's trying to fit into that. No way is that going to work. That's, I don't know. Maybe I'm way off.
But you don't do that to other guys. So I
oh, no, I
guys,
judge. Oh, really? Of course I do. When I see other people shopping, I'm like, you think you're going to look good in that?
Honestly, like, I don't know how clothing stores stay in business because when was the last time you guys shopped in one?
Wednesday.
I don't think I've shopped in a clothing store in probably 2 years.
Well, that's also years. Not very that you yeah, have yeah. to remember that's not relatable as well because we get all of our clothes sent to us for free.
I and also your just, brand is
I just wear sweatpants. Right? I forgot.
So this is the least relatable Fyre Fest all around. My bad. I just was embarrassed. I was like, why am I embarrassed? But I think that's just
Did
a
you get
general
the sweater?
Thing. No, I didn't because I got dude, he fucking alpha'd me out of there. I ran with my tail between my legs. Didn't get anything.
Big Cat shopping for sweaters.
Yeah, I mean, that's it just was like, oh, fuck, man. Because I don't know. It's like when you show up with something new, everyone's like, oh, is that new? It's like, yeah. Just
that
let me
is,
buy it. And
that's
peace.
A real thing is like yeah. showing up to work wearing something new. Then you have to have that conversation with everybody.
I think that's the root of it. Because when you get something new, you kind of want to work it in subtly. So if someone sees you at the source of the new clothes, they're like, oh,
what,
you're getting new clothes?
Here's what you do. You get the sweater. And then you put it on underneath like a coat
yeah.
the first day.
Yep.
And then you wear a vest
Work
the second
in.
Day over it. And then by the third day, you just go full sweater.
Yes.
Nobody knows.
Yes. Or you wear it once not to work. And then when someone says, is that new? You'd be like, no, I've worn it.
Yeah, I've worn this before.
You've never seen me.
You didn't see my post on Instagram?
All right. We have a Manalytics for Kevin Durant. So Kevin Durant got into a argument online. Stop me if you heard this before.
Okay.
About shot charts. And what's a good shot? Is that really what that's pretty much what happened, right?
Yeah.
So he essentially landed on like, I'm going to take the shots I want to take, and it's Manalytics. Is that how he ended up?
I think he was saying a good shot is a good shot.
I agree with that.
I agree with that too. So I stand with Kevin Durant.
So he stuffed these nerds because it's one of those weird things where we've gotten so smart as fans.
Uh-huh.
That's sometimes you catch yourself like you see people arguing with the guys who actually go do it. And it's like, well, I could tell you exactly how to play basketball. And Kevin Durant's like, I've been playing basketball every day for my entire life.
I do agree with him, though, that shot charts, not for me.
Yeah.
I need my charts. I think you'll probably agree. I need my charts to be either in pie form or bar graph.
Yes.
And because like as we go, as a drug guy and as a food guy, we like all our charts to be related to either a unit of food
yep.
or a level of Xanax.
Yes, bars.
Bars and pies.
Bars and pies. So I'm reading it now. So Kevin Durant's main point is that he says, I see dudes passing up open shots in the mid-range, like wide open, to force passes to the three-point line or force up bad finishes at the rim. which is true. People, Daryl Morey has ruined U.S.'s relationship with China and basketball.
That sucks for Daryl Morey. Those are like the two things, as general manager of the Houston Rockets, those are the two things that you can't screw up.
You can't screw up. But there are guys who just pass up mid-range shots because they're like, ooh, this, you know, it doesn't fit the model. And Durant is right. Like, guess what's a good shot? An open shot.
Yeah. You know who I blame for this is announcers. I blame announcers because for the last 15 years, we've heard every single NCAA play-by-play guy or color guy saying, you never want to take a long two.
Yeah.
And so it's always in my head. If you take a long two, you're an idiot.
So Bill Raftery, you screwed it for everyone.
That's why I don't take them.
But good job. Credit to Kevin Durant, who hopefully will someday be on the podcast. Hank didn't get him on the podcast, but credit to him.
That should have been your fire fest, Hank.
Yeah, that should have. Well, we talked about it on Monday, but credit to Kevin Durant. He had this entire argument on his own Twitter account.
That's progress.
Huge progress.
No burners. That we know of.
That we know of.
We actually don't know what the replies were.
Good point. All right. Next up, before we get to FAQs, special edition of FAQs, we have Mike Greenberg's Dumb Rules, PFT.
Yeah. I was just thinking this earlier. So we were talking about giving and taking pinstripes because the Yankees are about to play tonight, and Big Cat's got a uniform all shredded up, ready to go.
Yep.
But I think that the pinstripe has become too prominent in baseball. Like, nine teams wear pinstripes, and it sucks. It should either be, if you beat the Yankees in the playoffs, you should get pinstripes the next season. You should take their pinstripes from them.
Yep.
Or if just only the team that wins the World Series gets pinstripes for the entire next year. So if you have to beat the man to be the man.
I like
and
it.
Get the stripes.
That's part of winning a championship, is you get to wear the pinstripes.
Yeah.
Haven't they been pinstripes forever, though? Or was it just the Yankees until a certain year?
I wouldn't know the actual, like, how uniforms, everyone's uniforms.
I think they were clean until they got taken over by the mob. And then the mob was like, we need to make you guys look nice.
Yeah, we got to put you in a nice suit, fill off the back of the truck.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But, I mean, it's true. Everyone, there's a lot of teams in the Cubs where their home uniforms have pinstripes.
The Brewers, the Phillies have them. Yeah. The White Sox, right?
Yeah. So there's a shitload
the
of
Mets.
Teams. Yep.
There should only be one team with pinstripes. It's like
Phillies?
Highlander.
Yeah, I think you said, the Phillies? Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of pinstripes out there.
Too many pinstripes. They don't mean anything.
The Rockies? The Rockies have fucking pinstripes.
The Diamondbacks have a pinstripe.
Jesus
what the
Christ.
Fuck?
It means nothing anymore.
There should be one team with pinstripes.
All right, let's finish up. We have FAQ's special Barstool Van Talk edition, 2 year. So we thought we would do this. Last year we did a live show. This year, if you don't know, we had an ESPN show. It got canceled. But we thought we'd go down memory lane. We do it every year. This is going to be like...
It was like 3 weeks old. It had a 3 week life.
Well,
like, it got announced.
This is going to be like our Mercury Morris thing, though. Like every, you know, when the last team, undefeated team loses, they pop champagne. Every year on October 17th, we're going to text each other and be like, remember that time we had a show for one day?
I've just resolved to not think about it unless it's on October 17th.
Correct.
Well, that's what it is. It's the timeline. Like people, it's like you get added on all these tweets of like, oh, this was amazing. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
Time Hop fucked us.
Yep. Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have remembered this year if people didn't have Time Hop on their Facebook.
Correct.
So, yeah, we're going to get a little serious.
Do you guys want to start with any thoughts you've had today in the 2 years that have passed?
None.
Feels like forever. That's
I had
my
a thought,
first one.
Yeah, I had a thought earlier. It does feel like a long time. And I was thinking about how cool it was getting to say that we had a show on ESPN. That was actually the best part about having the show was the two-week build-up to the show, where I got to tell everybody in my life, hey, I have a show on ESPN, and then just never mention it again to them.
Yep, I remember. Yeah, no, it's very true, because it was like that period of just thinking, oh, shit, we did this? We're about to do this? I remember the day after it aired on that Wednesday, I remember leaving my house and being like, we got a fucking show.
Uh-huh.
This is cool.
Yeah.
This is fucking cool.
Sup, guys? We always knew BVT was going to get kicked off the air somehow. How did you guys imagine it getting canceled?
Nudity?
Good question. Nudity is a good one, although they were pretty sure. We tried.
We
tried nudity on the first episode.
We did, yeah.
With Peter North's cock.
We did try that. My balls made an appearance through the sweatpants in the first episode. They had to be blurred out. There was, you know what? So I was talking about this earlier today. I actually think that if we didn't get canceled, I don't think that the Caps would have won the Stanley Cup that year.
Oh.
Because I definitely wouldn't have been able to eat shit on the ESPN airwaves.
True.
And that's the whole reason they won.
That is true. That's a butterfly effect. I think we would have gotten canceled. I don't know, probably exactly how it went down. Just eventually someone would have bitched and been like, these guys can't be on ESPN. And then boom.
Well, would probably, poof. If we're being honest, it was a lot of work to do that one show. And if we had done that for 2 months after the fact, we would have gotten very, very lazy doing that show.
Right.
And they probably just would have been like, okay, this show is not very good anymore.
Right.
They canceled us.
We would have been like, hey, can we get maybe a writer or like another camera person? Because there were some details in that show that were kind of set up to fail because they basically gave us a shoestring budget. Like we...
Here's the one of the questions. Sup, PMT boys. How much money per episode did you make for BVT?
Good question.
Have any of you ever done the math on how much you would have made with BVT plus the $75K you make per episode?
Oh,
well, it was $75K because we got paid a total salary of $0 for the show.
But it was also like, so the budget was always set up to essentially never succeed. It was essentially like ESPN was like, okay, we'll give you this much money. It's not even close to what a real show needs. But if you can make it work, then we'll see what we have. Yeah. So, like, I would guess every show, no matter what time it's on ESPN, has like quadrupled the budget. We were at the point where we couldn't even... film, like, if we were like, hey, we have a good idea, we couldn't film it.
We
didn't have, like, the sound people and stuff. We had them for 24 hours for...
total.
One day a week. That's it.
And we had to keep that scheduled, so we couldn't just use those hours anywhere we wanted. So I think it was, like, Monday mornings.
Yes.
We could film for, like, 6 hours. And then, like, Monday evening through Tuesday afternoon, we could film.
It was crazy. It was crazy. We had no edit. Like, it was just crazy. It was never going to... It was going to always be just a really, really hard thing to do.
What's up, boys? Was there ever a night after BVT got canceled that you guys just got shit-faced?
Yeah.
The first night.
That first night?
First night got hammered.
Really drunk, really high.
Yeah.
That was when I got lost in the Call of Duty commercial.
Yeah, you thought you were playing.
I thought I was watching a movie about Call of Duty because the commercial was like 2 minutes long, and I was so high, I just couldn't figure out if... I didn't know where I was. I was like, this commercial's still going on? Did I change the channel? And I got lost in it.
I ended up getting hammered that night, traveling to this one restaurant in the city that I knew had the best fries. It was, like, way too far away. Ending up there and then getting into an argument with somebody because he was Sean Avery's business partner, and I called him a goon.
And you were driving in the bike lane?
I was not driving the bike lane.
I remember the next morning I felt like I was in, like, a TV show or something. Where I, like, woke up and just, like, got, like, my roommate had whiskey, and I, like, got a glass and was just like, fuck it.
And PFT
whiskey for breakfast.
PFT said this before, but it deserves to be repeated. Like, the worst part is not getting your TV show canceled. It's having everyone text you.
Yeah, all the condolences.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
like,
I'm aware.
Fuck. We should actually start like an app service for that. Where like just receives all
news.
Bad news text. It receives all your bad news text and just auto replies, thanks so much.
So yeah, what it does, it's like it's AI technology. So it scans your text coming in, and if it says, hey, I'm so sorry to hear about, and it identifies those words, you respond to the first one. And then all the other ones get that same response from you immediately.
Write that down.
And then we also sell all that text scanning technology to China.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we also could, if it's like a death, we can figure out the person's name and social security number and then have them vote for whatever politician we want in the next election.
And steal their account, their bank account,
And sign up.
Delete all this
sign
part.
Up them for like bookies and stuff and be like, well, we vouch for them.
Yeah.
They won't be dead.
They're taking our debt on.
Yeah.
Have any of you ever met John Skipper in person?
Yeah.
Yes.
We did. We sat in his beautiful office that was bigger than anyone's apartment in New York City.
It was bigger than heaven.
It was.
It was. He had
wood. A lot of wood.
There were three offices, so you step out off the elevator, and he has a private elevator, and then there's a pre office where there's a security guard who takes you into the pre office where there's a secretary who then allows you into the office, where there's yet another secretary rushedly putting away silver trays, and then she lets you into Skipper's office, and he's very, very excited and a lot of energy.
A lot of mirrors.
Ready to see, ready to sit down and talk to you.
On the floor.
Uh-huh. And he talked to us for like an hour and a half. So this was the day after, two days after the episode aired. And in retrospect, he's very clearly trying to offer us a job at ESPN.
Correct.
He was trying to feel it out to see if he could buy us away from Barstool.
Yeah.
It ended up being about an hour and a half conversation that culminated in him saying, it was a great show. I love you guys. I've got your back.
Yeah.
All that stuff is water under the bridge. You'll be fine moving forward. Shook our hands. It was great meeting. See you later. He's like, hey, you want a little eight ball for the road? No, thanks. We're good.
Oh, I accepted that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. No, but yeah, it was he definitely said to us, like, I just want to know whose back I have. Like, I want to meet you guys so that when I go to bat for you, I can connect you with, you know, a face to a name kind of thing. Apparently, our faces aren't very good.
No.
Because when he had to go to bat for us, he just dropped the bat and ran away.
Mm-hmm.
Two more.
Yeah, Hank, you got this.
Can we get a behind the music on Vanny? Where did he come from? Where's he at now, etc.?
He's still alive, and I get just a shitload of tickets for him.
Oh, I thought you sold it to Billy.
No, I couldn't find the title. I got to find it.
It's in, Big Cat found it on Craigslist. We had to pay for it ourselves.
Yep.
It's like $600.
Yep.
Something like that. Yeah.
$900.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do a, you know what? Let's just save it for the show. The behind the music on Vanny.
Save what for the show? This is the show.
No. Save that for the behind the music on Vanny.
Oh, we're going to make one.
Yeah.
We get one.
Yeah.
All like right. VH1.
And we'll drive it off a fucking cliff. And then I want us to keep paying insurance.
We should
shit.
Get we into should. A low speed chase with it and have a bunch of cops follow you.
Yes.
How crazy would that be if we got into a televised police chase on the news and people tuned in and it was Vanny Woodhead just driving down
slowly.
Driving down 95.
Yeah.
One dream I always had to do with one of my friend's cars when he was getting rid of it was to buy it. It was a total car and we were going to buy it from him for like $300 and just chainsaw off the roof. So it would just be
nice. Yep.
But it was like a Vanny convertible.
It was totaled?
No, or like he was like, I'm getting rid of it for like $500.
Oh, okay.
Sell it to
okay,
us.
We'll do that.
We'll buy it.
How about?
And he's like, no.
How about someone?
And then
who
we're gonna light it on fire and drive it off.
Yeah. How about someone who's listening who works on cars? Maybe just like redo the whole thing for free, and we'll. You know what? If you are working auto body shop and you want to redo Vanny, we will make the behind the Vanny, and we'll only show it to you. It'll be like the Wu-Tang album.
Yeah,
that Martin Shkreli has.
Shkreli's got.
Yeah.
So exhibit if you're listening, especially you.
Yes.
Last one. Did BBT have any more guests lined up after Dan Patrick?
We had some theoretical guests. So nobody that was booked yet. I think Rachel might have been our third guest.
John Gruden was on there, was on the list, because he was still working for Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
But
that's about it, I think.
Yeah, no, we didn't get that far.
Death. We were going to have Death in the van.
That was also a part of the budget that kind of hurt the fact that they were like, you got a show, and you have to book it yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We booked it ourselves.
In retrospect, accepting to do a television show for $0 was probably not our most astute business
move. You know what? I'm gonna read The Big Short again.
There you go.
This is a lesson.
Live and learn on that one.
Yes.
If you're ever asked to do a television show and not get paid for it, say, sure, and then get it canceled after one episode.
Take the cocaine, not the money.
Love you guys. Talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today's another day to find you shying away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay? To be safe and sorry.